I live in unconditional love, and all who come into my world do too. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I live in unconditional love, and all who come into my world do too. You know, a happy person has a very difficult time seeing an unhappy person. An unhappy person has a very difficult time seeing someone who is not appreciating them, not delighting in them, not being wonderful. And an unconditionally loving person cannot, and I say that a million times, cannot have anyone in their world who is not unconditionally loving. Everyone I see in my world is unconditionally loved. I live in unconditional love, and all who come into my world do too. So I live in unconditional love, and it's not all who come into my world, it's all whom I create. You see, if I take responsibility for those who come into my world, they come because I created them there. And I created the monsters, and I created the delightful beings. I created everybody. Good, bad, and indifferent. I created them all. You might say God created them all. That's true. Okay. It's a very wonderful thing. A very wonderful thing. It's a good symbol to you and me when we look at the world and we see the world beautiful and good in every single, every wonderful way. Because of what? We are looking to the world with unconditional love. We're looking at the world with unconditional love. We're creating the world with unconditional love. Now you say, well, that's kind of tough to create with unconditional love. No, it isn't. It's only tough because you think it's tough. It's only tough because you think that unconditional love is difficult. And unconditional love is difficult if you think it's tough. Because then you're going to find reasons that you can't do it, reasons that it doesn't work out, reasons that unconditional love is not so harmonious, and of course then it's going to be tough for you to work with. So how can you create your world with unconditional love? Well, in the first place, I live in unconditional love. And if you do, truly do, you cannot see anyone else any different than you. If you live in unconditional love, you truly cannot see anything different than who you are. And so, let's start unconditional love. Unconditional love, for instance, is a parent. And the parent has a child. And the child comes and says, "Mommy, why?" And the parent says, "This is it." And then the child says, "Why?" And the parent says, "This is it." And the child says, "Why?" And the parent says, "This is it." And the child says, "Why?" And the parent says, "This is it." To love is to go on teaching eternally without becoming weary. To love is to go on teaching eternally without becoming weary. Now, if you had the guts to have a child, then you have the responsibility to go on teaching forever without becoming weary. And realize that that's your offspring. Now, if your offspring asks you a question, or maybe the neighbor kid, whoever it is that loves you and feels that you are a source of confident information for them, they can believe in you. Competent information, confident information. So, you create people in your world, like your children or your husband, and they say, "Why?" You say, "Sweetheart, let's go to the movie tonight." And your husband says, "Why?" "Well, I think it'd be fun." "Good reason. Okay, let's go." You know? Now, if you say, "Must I ever give you a reason for doing something? Don't you ever want to do something just because I said we'd like to?" Yeah, don't do that. You're frustrated. You've lost the battle before you begin. You've given away control. If he asks you why, consider that it's a proper question, even though you might know it from experience that it's an improper question, you know. And so what you say is, "I think it's a great movie. and I know I'd enjoy it. And I have a feeling you would too. But let's go. And he says, sure. Okay. Now, Ellen is conducting a program on campus, and she's conducting the program called our 30th Anniversary Celebration. It's a day-long celebration in July, and then repeated again in October. Now, the main thing that Ellen forgot in all of her doing was dress casual. You're not supposed to come out here with your suits and ties and your cravats and your fine shoes, and you can wear them if that pleases you, you know. But come dress casual. In other words, quickly run down to the store, some sporting store, and buy yourself a casual outfit, and then come. Or wear your shorts, or wear your long pants. And so if you're unconditionally loving, you have no concern what a person is wearing. Your only concern is they're present, you know? And when they're present, then what happens? Then the show goes on. Then the program gets on the road. Then everything is in order. Now, when is everything in order for you? When is everything in order for me? When I'm unconditionally loving. My son, as he was growing up, was not a great questioner, but he asked significant questions when he asked them, you know. But what my son did, and I thought it was pretty cool, he invited his friends, his best friends, he's had three or four of them, he invited his best friends over to ask me questions that they couldn't ask their parents because they felt it was too sensitive and because they felt their parents wouldn't understand. And so I answered every question. And they said, oh, that makes such a difference, you know. And whatever I was doing, I may have been studying for my real estate exam. I may have been doing other things, maybe writing articles for the journal. And I was busy, you know. But they came in, and Mark said, Dad, got a couple minutes? I said, Mark, anytime you ask for a couple minutes, you got it. And he said, well, Tommy was asking me some questions. And I told Tommy, if anybody's got the answers, my dad's got them. And I thought, what a nice thing to say. I mean, how can I not answer their questions, you know? So we all sat down, and they had a Coke or something, and I had a cup of coffee or a beer or whatever, and I answered their questions. And their questions could appear to somebody as frivolous. But what they were doing is they were couching their question in a frivolous manner so that the seriousness of it wouldn't come through. Now, if a person did this, you know how that goes. Or if somebody else has done something naughty, you know, how should they react? Da, 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 da. You know what's going on. But, hey, we're not to judge. The fact that they came to me and asked me, I gave them unconditional love, and they went away absolutely satisfied. In fact, I got telephone calls from their parents now and then thanking me for answering their children's questions, you know. And I said, well, I'm just a good cub master. I'm just a good scout master. I was this cub master and scout master for a lot of these kids. And they didn't have mothers and dads at home. They had one or the other, maybe, or maybe not even that. And so they would just come and ask questions, and it was great. But you see, unconditional love. I had a very wonderful full-time job. I was studying for the real estate board as a broker. I was writing articles at home and at the office for my magazine in Newport Beach there, Newport Illustrator, and Illustrated. And it was a wonderful, busy time, very busy. And I had very little time to watch much television or do anything like that. But whenever Mark came in, usually I'd say, hi, Mark. And he'd go to his bedroom with his friends, and they'd be working on model airplanes and designing them and doing all sorts of good stuff. So when he stopped by me and said, Dad, we got a couple questions for you. You know, and then he named the kids. And one kid had just one eye, and he lived in a foster home, and he'd been from foster home to foster home to foster home because he was a rascal. And he came to our house, and I don't recall his name, but I said, "Now, one thing you know in our home, we trust you, we trust everybody. Our home is open to everybody. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want. Just remember, respect our home, just as you would like people to respect your room, you know." And they came in our house, and they were so respectful. This guy was so respectful. He, every time he was getting ready to leave, you know, they're going to go home and stuff, he'd say, "Well, Mr. Barley, thank you so much. You know, I'm so happy that I had a chance to come and visit Mark here, and I'm so happy that you invited me for dinner," which we did too. You know, we always invited kids for dinner. And because oftentimes the mother and dad didn't get home, or mother or dad, and so they would have to wait dinner until 7 or 8 o'clock. And so they would eat with us, and they loved spaghetti, and they loved all the things we made. But that's unconditional love. Unconditional love doesn't say, "Why can't your parents take care of themselves? You know, why don't you go ask your mom and dad these questions? You think I got time to answer these questions? I'm working on my papers here, and I'm working on my broker's license, and I'm working on this. Don't you understand?" And no, they wouldn't understand, because all they know is, in their heart, they really had some questions. Some of them were stupid. You know, they knew the answer. They just wanted me to confirm it. And others were penetrating and deep. And others were about their bodies and about their relationships and about their work at school and their getting along better with the teacher. I mean, all these things that parents would do. And it was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. We had a beautiful, unconditionally loving situation. And you see, that's what this is all about. It says, "I live in unconditional love, and all who come into my world do too." Well, all of those kids went home to their parents, or parent, whatever it was, and told them what they had done with us. And it was really fantastic, really fantastic. But you see, that's what unconditional love does. Unconditional love doesn't demand or behold anything. Unconditional love doesn't make you feel that you've got to do things. Unconditional love is just a sharing of yourself, who you really are, with whoever is in your world. And I tell you, that's mighty nice. And Gertrude, thank you for your nice email. And looking forward to you and your whole family being here. It'd be nice if Martin and Adrian could be here too. That'd be exciting. But you, Jerome, Sabrina, and Katerina, the chef supreme, will be here, and that will be just so wonderfully exciting. And I'm so happy you like to hear about Gregor's marriage, because he's a good guy. So have a lovely day, and I'm happy that you had your meeting with Christina and Irene, and you had your meeting of the
Illuminati.
The Illuminati in Switzerland. And I know that every one of you was beautifully illuminated by it. And Heinz and Cynthia and John and Anita and who else down there? And of course, Irene and Dodo, they're going to be here in October. Mm-hmm. But it's so great that all of our people all over the world that we go and visit are now coming back to celebrate with us on our 30th annual year. 30 years old. Now, how many organizations are 30 years old and still so gentle and so perfect and so more interested in the students than in anything else? Thank you all for being in my world. And you newcomers, thank you for being in my world. And I'm always here for anyone with unconditional love if you have a problem. And if your problem is private, then shove it up your nose. If your problem is public, if your problem is something that you want to change in your life, I'm right here to talk with you, as well as our worldwide healing ministry. It's right here to share with you. So, welcome aboard, and happy days to all of you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.